Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life. Dr. Sherry Denham, Mylon Yurkovich, your phone calls today on New Life. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
Hi, dear. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm trying to teach Kane how about yourself?
I am so angry. Mm-hmm. I am like Godzilla with a bustier.
How do I help her and me through this? How do I get to a stronger place? Because she really is the love of my life.
You feel a lot of emotion about this.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know she had a homosexual past until she had made a move on me.
He has an addiction to pornography he would not deal with. He said, you act like I'm the only one that has this problem and I should just...
Well, you are the only one that I'm married to that has this problem.
And that's what I told him. I said, I'm not married to everybody else.
Now, this is...
So you all just let him off the hook?
Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. And when I say us, I'm talking about Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon.
Oh, I thought you were talking about us, but you were talking about the radio listeners, weren't you? Glad you're with us today.
I was. And Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hey, I'm in here being serenaded by Mylon. He's singing spiritual hymns to me.
Well, that is...
We were just spontaneous
just
singing.
Fantastic.
You've heard of spontaneous combustion. This is spontaneous singing. It just happens. You know?
Hey, you know, Mylon, you were on yesterday, and I forgot to mention that yesterday was the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade.
Wow.
Where abortion was legalized here in the United States. 50 million plus children aborted since then. And
wow.
You know, as most people that listen regularly know, I paid for an abortion when I was in college, and just one of the most regrettable things ever, and also experienced God's amazing grace and forgiveness. And I just hope and pray that if anybody is struggling with the guilt and the shame from an abortion, that you'd let us help you. And you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
But, Steve, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that any female doesn't struggle at some level? Sherry, I'd be interested in your thoughts. You said if any of you are struggling, wouldn't you think every female that has an abortion struggles at some level with that choice?
Those that I've worked with in the trauma circle have beliefs like this. I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shameful because of what they did. And they carry a lot of guilt and shame.
And they often worry about impending punishment, that a child that they are raising is going to be taken from them. And
Steve, they even look at things that have happened in their life that have been painful, and many of them connect it in as a punishment, saying, you know, I'm a bad person, God punished me because of what I did.
Yeah.
Really unhealthy thinking. It's not truth, but that's how they take it in at the time of, you know. And a lot of them, Steve, had an adult that was actually there making the decision with them, for them. They were minors, many of them.
And that's so, when I say that some of them that feel guilty over having an abortion actually had an abortion done to them.
Right.
That's a good point.
They weren't in a place where they could make a rational decision. They were kind of pressured into it. I really believe that when you do something to destroy your own species, that atheist or whatever, there's some intrinsic guilt. And then, of course, if you're a Christian, it's just horrific. And there's healing and hope available. And I just didn't want us to not mention this. We talked about the sweet girl that we're raising, Mary. She was aborted. And she was a victim of rape and aborted, and then the abortion didn't work.
Wow.
And now
she survived.
She's this amazing
14-year-old,
wonderful, talented, brilliant life that wouldn't be on this earth.
Well,
and I'm just so grateful. She's such a gift to us and every one of those aborted babies are that. It's a whole life that never got a chance. But there's healing if you've been a part of it. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham. Let's go to Chris, Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
Okay. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, you know, I heard what you said. I never knew that about you. Had funded, you know, an abortion back when you was in college. And
right.
Kind of made me feel compelled to call in and share my experience with it. I funded one about 5 months ago. Or 5 years ago, I'm sorry. And it was really, really hard. Going through financial times and strife with life and everything else. And it was very awful. But for any other guys that has funded an abortion, I'll just let them know that I got down on my knees in my garage one day, broke down, totally on my knees, arms up to God, and asked for his forgiveness and asked him to erase the shame. And slowly but surely, he did.
There you go.
And it's just very amazing what God can do, especially when you ask for forgiveness and repent.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I hope some other people will take that step. You know, over the years, and it's been many years ago, I've seen articles on men and male post-abortion syndrome. One of the ones I kept was in Esquire magazine, a secular, of course, magazine. And the men in there talked about how it bothered them. And, you know, non-Christians, it still bothered them that they had done something. So it's not just something that you go do and get taken care of. It lives with you forever, Christian or not.
Yes.
But there's healing.
Yes, and I felt compelled to call today because I had actually been thinking about it today.
Well, wow, Chris, thank you so much.
I'm glad you called, Chris. Let me send you the Book of Life Recovery. I think you'll like it, and it's a great accompaniment to the Life Recovery Bible. All right, let's go to Sherry from Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, my name is Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay, Cheryl.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. And
sure.
I have a question. I have a brother who went to prison when he was 16. He stayed in there for 25 years. He's 42 now. He came home, but he's in a hospital. And when he went to jail, I went to see him once, and he's really angry with me. I went to the hospital, and I wrote on a piece of paper. He wrote on a piece of paper that I didn't bring him a Christmas package, and I wrote on a piece of paper that I'm so sorry. What can I do to make it up to him? And he said to get him a soda. And I went and got him, and I asked him what kind. I was so happy. I went and got him the Pepsi. He said a Pepsi, and I came back with it. And then I had cried, and I told him that I was so, so sorry for, you know, not being there in his time of need to, you know, visit him and stuff. And now, you know, I go to see him, and he don't want to talk to me. He don't want to say anything to me. He ignores me. And I'm kind of like stuck. I don't know what else to do or if I should try to do anything else. Should I continue to keep going and just sit there? Because I'll go and I'll just sit there. I'll take a book with me.
Yeah,
I'll sit there.
All right. Well, let's hear from Sherry and Mylon about what they think. Here she is going to the trouble to go visit him in prison.
Well, the interesting thing here.
I think he's in a hospital now, right? Is he out of prison?
He's out of prison now, but see, when he was locked up for 25 years, and to my neglect and my abandonment, I only went to see him once.
Right, we got that. Is he in the hospital now?
Like a mental hospital, or
he's in a psych ward. They diagnosed him with schizophrenia.
Okay, So here's what's important. You might be tying these two things together. He might not be tying these two things together. Now, what I mean by that is, what would his behavior have been like had you visited him multiple times? He still might be sullen, quiet, non-communicative, whether you saw him or not. We don't know what he's like as a person.
I know. I'm not saying that that's why he's... I'm not saying that that's why he's quiet and not talking because he isolated and he wasn't interacting with society or the public. Or
okay, so what's your question then? He's treating you just like he does everybody else.
Oh, no, he don't. He treats my sister different. He says something. If she asks him stuff, he'd be like, And he'll look at her and give her eye contact. He avoids giving me eye contact. It's
okay,
like
so he treats you. He treats you differently, and that really hurts your feelings.
Well, it hurts my feelings, but I know why he's doing it. It's not that I don't know, because I do know why he's doing it. He's doing it because, you know, I know that I didn't go see him.
Okay, well, and that's really important then. Now you have an accurate contrast. I didn't know that contrast was there. You see, he is responding to your sister differently, and she, and what she's done is she's bonded with him because she created a regular schedule where she bonded with him because of the regularity of contact. You didn't have a bonding experience, and resentment crept in. It's possible to rebuild that bonding with him through, again, the regularity of contact, but it will take time, and it's just you can't expect the two of you to be treated alike. So I would just say, be honest, regularly visit him. Do nice things, visit, share your own journey, ask him for forgiveness, and then expect that over time it's possible that the two of you might bond just like your sister and he are bonded.
Yeah, and actually the research says, you're right, Mylon, it takes 2 years, 2 years to form a secure bond, just to even begin to bond. And so my suggestion would be, because you said that you go and you sometimes bring a book and read and just kind of sit in the room. I actually would ask you to think about setting the book aside.
I do. What I started doing was taking me and him lunch. And I would sit down,
perfect,
I would bring him lunch, and I would say, how's the food? And he wouldn't say nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? And I would sit there and I would, you know, ask him, like, how he's feeling. I was, how you feeling? Yeah. You know, just ask little small questions.
Well,
and
I don't think you should abandon him. You guys don't think that she should either, do you?
No, I just think it's going to take time, like Mylon said. It is, there's a lot of hurt there. And the more you can not worry so much about having a conversation, but I love the idea of bringing food.
Yeah.
Even if you sit and just look at him with compassion, like really work on your body language. Don't try really hard not to get upset. It's not, if you can just kind of go with the idea that there will be an attachment that will somehow happen at some time if I continue just to come and show up with a heart of grace and compassion.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do with that, and that's very important, is do what most people don't want to do, which is to ask the hard questions. So, brother, what's it like to be in here?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? Do you have any friends here? How does the staff treat you? What are your hopes and dreams about the future? How's this any different than prison? And to really ask those very hard, emotionally based questions that most of us want to avoid.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And what happens is he'll say, this lady's not afraid to go with me to my pain.
Yeah.
And we bond very quickly with people who go with us to our places of pain.
Good point. All right. Hope that's helpful. I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that that will be of help to you. Now let's go to Stephanie, Jackson, Mississippi, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. It's really great to finally get to talk to you.
Well, thank you. We're glad you're here. How could we help?
Well, my question is, I have trouble. I'm a vacillator, and I didn't know that until this past year when I read the book How We Love.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the book. And I'm having trouble still getting past my problem as a vacillator, and my husband is an avoider.
Mm-hmm. And how did you know you were a vacillator when you read it? What led you to say, "Oh, that's me"?
Well, I was a product of a divorced family as a child, and I, for as long as I can remember, and have been kind of uptight and always, I think the phrase was taking the emotional temperature of the room, and I do that. I do that with things, and I feel like I don't want to be rejected so much so that if I feel like I am at all might be rejected, I reject first and move away.
Hmm. Mylon, what do you think? Is that...
Well, that's very accurate and classic. You know, the vacillator avoider is the number one presentation to walk into a therapy office because it is so problematic. And so you're in good company, Stephanie. And some of my favorite people on the planet are recovering vacillators. They're fabulous people. And what's important, though, is you must, the two of you, if you want to really improve this, you need to sit down, and I do this with my couples. I'll have them take a piece of paper and draw around the clock, if you will, in a circular pattern. Well, he does this, then I feel this, then he does this, then I feel this, or I do this, and then you know, you draw out what the core pattern is. And if you really understand the core pattern and what each of you brings to it, then you have a chance of changing it. If you have no idea what it is, it will manage you the rest of your life. Now, if you understand it really well, then you can manage it because you can go, oh, there I am idealizing again, and he fell short of what I hoped he would do, and now I'm angry. You know what? He's not a mind reader. So, you know what? Maybe my dream of what he might do right then is unrealistic, so maybe I better tell him, you know what? I think my expectation was unrealistic. Can I have a do-over? Let's start over again. So whether he does anything or not, you can make adjustments all the way around that circle, and hopefully so can he. If you're really stuck, you need to go into a therapist and help them, you know, help you get unstuck. But it's highly I have a ton of you guys, Stephanie, in my office, and change is entirely possible. But but Sherry, so do you.
I do. And actually, one of the things that I've done, Stephanie, is I have actually a group of women like yourself that have had some trauma in their past that has caused them to fear rejection and connection. And yet the reason, like Mylon, I love vacillators is because they have a longing to connect. They really want to connect and belong. So I have a group of trauma survivors that are all some variants of vacillator. And I put them all together in one room and help them learn how to empathize with one another, how to hear each other's story, how to crosstalk. And when they get triggered, how to have to walk through that with the other person in the group. So there's healing, but your healing is going to be in relationship. Part of how I think you're going to heal best is by doing relationship work, either with your husband or in a group environment where you have to practice facing your fear and risking and being vulnerable and then moving through the feeling of anger. I want to hurt the other person, you know, or push them away so I'm not hurt.
Well, and then what they learn, Sherry, is they learn to regulate in a new adult body and not take those child feelings and bring them into their adult experience. I had a vacillator, Stephanie, say to me a few weeks ago, she said to me, and this was very insightful, Steve and Sherry, she said, I realize, and she's 60 years old, she says, this little girl has been controlling my entire adult life.
Mm. Yeah.
My little girl inside has controlled my entire adult life. And you know what? I'm going to love her, but I'm not going to let her control my life anymore.
Yeah.
And this lady is making massive changes.
Don't you think one of the...
That's great.
A great sign of maturity for a vacillator is to be able to see what they just
huge,
did,
Stephanie.
And come back and say to somebody, "Hey, I need to ask you to forgive me. I really see what I did there, and I'm working on that."
Yeah, Steve, that's really important, very important.
Stephanie, glad you called. You have children?
I do. I have a 14-year-old and I have a 24-year-old stepdaughter.
All right. Well, I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids, and I hope that will bless you there. All of our resources are available at newlife.com. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn with Dr. Henry Cloud, and we have joined forces to create a website for Christians who want to meet other Christians, hismatchforme.com.
There are a lot of Christians who want to date and one day be married, but they believe God's just going to land someone to their doorstep or office cubicle. Steve and I believe HisMatchForMe.com is a way to stop waiting for God to do what God is waiting for you to do.
In Henry's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and in my book, Is This the One?, we provide some valuable insights on Christian dating. And one of those is using a Christian dating site.
HisMatchForMe.com is a site where you can meet other Christians who are looking for a good dating relationship as well.
We want to see you in dating relationships that honor God and maybe in a marriage that will too. So give HisMatchForMe.com a try and type in code word New Life and get double the value. That's HisMatchForMe.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham. Hasn't written anything yet, but Milan.
But I'm working on it.
Yeah, and Milan's written How We Love.
Well, just talking about that offline here, about how I just thanked Milan offline. I said, I just love your book. I said, I probably have 90% of my clients reading it because everyone has an attachment style. But we were just talking about how people like to have their attachment styles defined. They like to know mm-hmm. who they are. It actually gives them a lot of power. And Milan was just sharing at a conference he went to that the therapist, you give a certain inventory, an attachment inventory, and the therapist was saying, no, we don't reveal those things to the client. We don't tell them who they are. And Milan's like, I thought that was crazy because people are empowered once they know the position. Yeah. And then once you have your position, you know how to heal.
Right.
So there's a lot of hope in that.
Surely is. I mean, once I discovered I was a narcissist, I quit talking about myself so much, you know, and you've noticed that, I'm sure. You need to know what to work with. Okay.
You're absolutely right. When we have a diagnosis, healing is possible.
Yeah.
You don't go anywhere, a doctor's office to a mechanic. that they don't tell you what's wrong, and then it gives you an idea of what path you have to take. You know, so that is right. One of the reasons why this book has been helpful, first to Kay and myself, and then to many other people, because it creates a definition. If you know, then you can start to make changes.
Yep.
All right.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
Let's take another call.
Let's do it. Let's go to Felix from Washington, D.C., Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi there.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. I had an experience similar to yours where I paid for an abortion. I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I actually paid for the abortion. And shortly after that, I mean, I really felt guilty. And so I think my question is, do God punish you because of it? And I feel like he does. I feel like he does because of the fact that I wanted to have children, and I didn't end up having children until I was 40. But during that time, I was together with her. I was married for like 17 years, but we were together 23, and I took care of her three children before I actually had my two other children. But my question was, I felt like God did punish me during that entire time that I was married, and she couldn't have children, and so I felt like he, you know, because of the abortion that I paid for, he made me take care of three other children that weren't mine, and I took care of them till they were in their 20s, and then I left the relationship and had two wonderful children now. So, but my question is, do God discipline you because of what you feel that you've done? And because I do feel that he did discipline me, I think he does. Is that correct?
See, I have a little different take on that, Felix. It's a little bit like, I mean, I do think God disciplines us. All discipline for the moment isn't Hebrew, it's not joyful, it's sorrowful. Yet after the discipline has happened, our lives yield the peaceful fruits of righteousness. That's what the word talks about. So I do think that the Lord does, he disciplines those he loves. In this situation, for my experiences, I see more people that, because of that traumatic event, wire in beliefs at the time that they're acting out and doing whatever they're doing. They wire in beliefs like, I'm a bad person. I am shameful. Like, I'm unforgivable. And my sense is that you may have been one of those folks that I brought up in the early part of the program today that believes I'm a bad person. And so it's God's going to judge me. And so then their story unfolds in life, and they build their own narrative around this belief that I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, that's the lie. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. Instead of the truth, which is, I'm a good person that sometimes does bad things, and I am worthy of forgiveness.
Right. You know, and actually, I didn't feel bad about the experience, because the three kids were wonderful kids, but because of the timeline with that 40 years, with me not having a child till I was 40, and it wasn't something I just planned, like, happened, and I feel like God, I felt like I was 40 years in the wilderness, but, you know,
you didn't believe, Felix, that you did something. You didn't believe you were a bad person for taking the life of another child, for paying for the abortion. You didn't feel.
No, I didn't believe. I didn't feel that at the time because I was scared. You know, I paid for the abortion because I was scared what my mother would say. And
so,
at the same time, I knew it was wrong and I felt guilty. But I felt more fear.
I'm afraid of what my mother's going to say. I'm afraid of what God's going to do. So maybe it's more of a fear-based belief.
Yeah,
I've done something wrong is sometimes a belief that someone will wire in. And if I've done something wrong, then I am worthy of punishment.
Well, and Sherry and Felix, what we do here is we then project that upon God.
Yeah.
And with that projection, we then look back at the very picture that I'm projecting onto the screen, and I believe then that God is doing this to me. But the projection is a fabrication of my mind. It's not necessarily truth. So we don't know what has happened or why you didn't have children till 40. The most important thing we can walk away with here is if Christ died on the cross for my sins, all of them were paid for.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, past, present, and future. So when a person repents, the Bible says God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We'll be back right after this.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham. And Felix, I just want to say that I do believe God disciplines us. His word says that he does. I don't think it's in the ways that we assume. I think that the condemnation, he says, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to set it free. And I think the condemnation comes from Satan. And I think also we just have some natural consequences of the decisions that we make. And so whatever it is, and it's difficult to figure out, I think we say to God, you know, discipline, no discipline, whatever. I'm yours. Take me. Use me. And just hope and pray that maybe someone has heard this and hears that, you know, you went through difficult times and you worry. But I know a lot of women that think they can't have children because they paid for an abortion. And I just don't believe that that is the way God deals with them. And I want them to be free. And many who have gone through an abortion recovery program no longer feel that that's the way God dealt with them.
You know, Felix's story, Steve, is not uncommon. It's really common. And I sit with people, and they can go back in their history and say, you know, four or five things happened because they stole something in junior high, or, mm-hmm. you know, or because I had an abortion. And their story, they create it. It's a, like Mylon said, it's a projection. Mm-hmm. But when we project that onto God, we can live, it's devastating. We can live the bulk of our lives looking at God as a punisher instead of a savior. And yeah. it can cause a huge disconnect. And
yes.
that's why Zephaniah, I want to read Zephaniah 3:17, is such a powerful verse because it says who God is. And it says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. In fact, he will exult over you with singing. That is in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. That is before Christ came. That is who our God is.
He wants us to be free.
Yep.
He wants us to be free. And he does. He's gone to a lot of trouble for that to
He has.
Happen. Well, I'm going to send healing as a choice out. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. How about Mary, Oakland, California? Hi, Mary. Welcome to New Life.
Oh, hi there. Okay, here's my question, and you'll never know whether Mary's my real name or not.
Okay.
I have a really hard time opening up to people, and I've realized this in my small groups that I've been trying to work with. I'm totally fine talking about activities and, you know, day-to-day stuff, and I can empathize with others, you know, about their challenges and their hurts, but with me, I keep people at arm's length, and I think I have, like, this unwritten rule about just don't show your hurts to people, or even like don't share your joys. You're either bothering them, or it kind of like could come back and hurt me in a way, like come back to bite me.
Hey, this is not a brilliant question here, but when you shared who you were with Mommy and Daddy, what was their response?
Well, you know, you're starting to go back a while ago.
Yes, that's true.
Here we're asking you to open up on the air, right?
So I will do my best, but I can't imagine it was really warm and comforting. You
right.
Know? I mean, that's perhaps not a brilliant answer, but I can't imagine it was really warm and cozy. The facts of the matter are when I was born, I had a brother that was, let's see, at the time then one, and I had another brother that at the time would have been two. So, you know, I think Dr. Stoops said once that patterns are laid down in the first year of life, and if that's the case, I mean, I can't imagine that in my first year of life I got a lot of, you know, gazing fondly into my face and all of that kind of cuddly time. I probably, you know, in my mother's defense, having three kids, right, two and under, would have been a challenge.
Was there ever a time that you remember sharing, like being in kind of a crisis or scary place and sharing it and being shut down? Like, or growing up in a family where you weren't comforted. You did, if you cried or if you hurt, there wasn't a lot of space for you.
Well, there would have been some. I could have pointed to some. Probably more with my dad, because I was the only girl, and then I had a you know, my family went on from there, but I was the only girl. So I had time with my dad and connection with my dad.
But connection of the heart. Because somewhere, one of the beliefs that I work with sometimes is it's not okay to show my emotions. It's not okay to feel. It's not okay to show my heart. That's a negative belief, and it comes out of pain. There's a wound behind that that's driving you to self-protect in real time. What you're telling us is, I have a hard time opening up.
Yes, I do. And I know it's not godly, right? And so I know it stems from a hurt, but I still can't kind of like get around
it. Let me give you something to wrap your head around here. I think you're a pleaser, giver type, perhaps a caretaker type. And if you do all these things, you can listen empathetically, you lead groups, and you pull other people out, wow, then you're the hero. You get all the positive vibes. It's a positive experience. People look at Mary, quote unquote Mary, whoever Mary is, and they look at Mary and they go, wow, you're an amazing person. But if you were to share anything negative about yourself, somebody might look upon you negatively, and you don't know what to do with that.
Not so amazing.
Maybe, right?
Well, what do you fear? If you, what would happen? You see, they might reject you if, in fact, you say something they don't like. Most people won't reject you, but if I share something not good about myself, a bad part of me, then somebody might reject me. So what us recovering pleaser types try to do is we always try to project this positive thing going on all the time so that we get a positive response.
Well, the reason I say maybe, if I can be frank, is I was like, I can't even...
Wait a minute. Do you want to be frank or do you want to be Mary? I mean, who do you want to be here? Come on.
Well, I guess I could lower my voice.
No, I'm just joking. Come on. I'm joking.
After all, I'm in Northern California. Okay, but I have a hard time sharing, like, good things. And the only part that I've always had question marks about my growing up is my family was... We were sort of allowed to tease. You know?
So critical, criticism.
Well, I don't know. We called it teasing, right?
Teasing is a whitewashing word for criticism.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Teasing can be really painful. And that ding, ding, ding makes sense to me why it's not okay to show my emotions. Because if I grow up in a teasing environment, then I'm going to be, it's kind of like an eat or be eaten, right? It's like,
yes.
You know, and so if I grew up in a teasing environment, if I expose anything, it could be sliced and diced. And
yes.
In issues of the heart, that's frightening. I really think that's it, Mary.
Okay, so what do I do about that?
Well, you get to practice. If you really want to heal, I'm going to share really briefly. I was in a group to heal myself because I had my own intimacy issues from growing up in my family of origin. And one of the things that I did was I self-protected. And in my group, I didn't really bring the dirt. I just brought the good stuff, okay? So I had another flavor of what you're talking about. But what happened is I made a commitment to my group because I had to do the opposite. In order to heal, you've got to do a 360. Repentance means to turn around and walk in the other direction. Mm-hmm. So what I committed to, I said, for the next 6 months, the only thing I'm going to say when I come in here is I'm going to bring my dirt. I'm going to bring something that's ugly, that's not that I think you guys wouldn't like. And I'm going to have to see what that feels like. It was a mindful decision. But what I learned over that next 6 months is this group of people really were okay with me. Just like Mylan said, they didn't react like, you know, like I thought they were going to react. And it actually showed me that it was safe for me to bring my heart. So if we want to heal, we have to turn around and do the opposite.
Courage.
Yeah, it is courage and bravery. But I came out the other side knowing that I was loved and accepted, and it gave me courage to share more outside.
Mm. I'm going to send you How We Love. I hope that's helpful to you. And Sherry, when we come back from the break, maybe you could share some of the
dirt,
that you shared in group, and then we'll be able to get to know you a little bit better. And I really appreciate your willingness to do that. I'm going to send her How We Love. Anybody else? Oh, my goodness. It's one of those books. Let's see. Mere Christianity, Boundaries, How We Love. That would put you in pretty good shape. You'd be pretty wise after that. It's in that kind of category. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. We'll be back right after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things. And one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be. And I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. And Terry, would you play that little testimony from a guy that went to every man's battle?
I was anxious in that, you know, in the nervous sense of not knowing what to expect. I had great expectations of the program. So that excitement was there that I was going to finally get rid of this dark secret in my life and be able to, you know, talk about it and begin the restoration of my marriage. Hmm.
And so when you left there, had you pulled it off?
Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. Hmm. I mean, just finding out that there are other people that are like you.
Right.
Not feeling like the freak.
Yeah.
Or the weirdo, the perv, which maybe in some cases those things apply, but just knowing that I'm not alone in this world.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can join us for Every Man's Battle coming up February the 8th in the Seattle area. Also, July, I think it's the first time I've mentioned this on the air, but July 1st through the 7th, we're going to Alaska. Dave Stoop is going to go with us, along with Marilyn Meberg from Women of Faith. You've heard her on the program here many times. We'll be teaching, and the theme of this cruise, July 1 through 8, is how big is your God? And if you've ever been to Alaska, God looks pretty big up there. So it's
going to
be a wonderful time. Come join us. It'll be an amazing spiritual but also fun experience for everybody. Bring the whole family if you can. It'll be a great time. Well, we're going to do another program after this, but please hang on if you're on the line, and we'll try to get to you in the next hour. And if you want to try to get through, that number is 1-800-229-3000. But Connie, you'll be our final call here on this program from Seattle, Washington, where we're coming for our anniversary celebration, not too far away. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing okay. How could we help you?
Okay, I'm going to try to be very brief.
Good luck.
I need counseling advice on whether or not I should initially, well, here's the deal.
Okay.
I ended up with some, real
okay.
criminals for neighbors.
Criminals?
Criminals. And the man was a sex offender, but I didn't know it for a long time.
Oh.
I just knew that he had, I knew that he was spiritually dark.
Yeah.
Anyway, I stayed in the environment too long because I kept trying to transfer with my job.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that didn't happen, so I just quit and I moved. Anyway, what I think is, at the time I saw a psychiatric nurse and another doctor, and they talked about neurotransmitters, and
mm-hmm.
they said, you're not going to get over this in a weekend. You know, you need to, you know, apply yourself to getting well.
Yeah.
Well, I moved away, and I thought that would do it, but I realize I kind of have my own elephant in the room, and it's, I'm isolating because I'm isolating that incident instead of dealing with it. And
so, Connie, what happened? We have just a brief
well,
time here.
Well, I can't go into too much identifying stuff because I can't risk having these people.
Okay.
But there was some type of a sexual violation.
Well, it was a very peculiar, very pervasive a type of harassment that the police tried to help, but they really couldn't. And it was eventually became dangerous. and truly, truly dangerous. And
Well, how could we help you? What's the question for us then?
Okay, what I realize is I wasn't this way before this.
Okay.
I'm still too quick to get anxious. I get startled too easily. Mm-hmm. I get too nervous, too chatty.
Okay, I think Sherry,
still have trouble sleeping.
you know what this is?
I do. I think I know what this is. This is called a diamond pattern in the brain. Looking at SPECT images, there's when someone has experienced some trauma, being a trauma for you, or earlier in your life, I suspect that you have a history of trauma. Okay, and so what happens is the brain is turned up. The neurotransmitters they're talking about, it's called kindling, like throwing wood into a fire. Your brain is turned up, and there's three parts that are turned up when someone's gone through trauma. One is the basal ganglia, which is the gas pedals of the brain, meaning you have anxiety and you have panic and you're fearful. The other part is the limbic system, which is mood control central, and that has to do with negative thinking, and it has to do with sleep and appetite issues.
Okay, so what does she need to do?
Well, first off, I think you need to see, probably go get a good psychiatrist to get on some medication possibly to help you. And then I think you need some good trauma therapy. You need to take your fear, which is, I think I'm in danger, is what you've wired in. You're still in that hypervigilant state of fear. You need to take that into a good trauma therapist and start to do some work on that to get to the other side.
Okay, and what was the third thing? Basal ganglia.
The basal ganglia, the limbic system, and the cingulate gyrus, which is a gear shifter. And that's like a hamster on a wheel where you get stuck on thoughts and stuck on behaviors. You worry. It's more of an anxiety part of the brain. So that's why you keep thinking about this, Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very treatable, but you need to get with a good trauma therapist and need a good psychiatrist to work as a team to help you.
Probably not a good idea to go into a psychiatrist and say, could you look at my cingulus gyrus or whatever.
Out my basal ganglia.
Just tell him the symptoms and go from there.
You got it.
All right, I'm really glad that you called. Let me send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that'll be a great blessing to you. I just got an email from somebody doing two groups in Spanish for Healing is a Choice. We love it when you do groups with the material that we have around here. Many, many, how we love study groups. If you need help with starting a group, we've got some stuff that could help you. You just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need help with any area, we want to help you. Counselors all over this country that we can help you find. And so call us. Give us a shot at it. And if not, if we don't have it in your area, maybe we can give you some guidelines or some thoughts about how to pick a great counselor. In February, we do have two amazing opportunities, two workshops. I hope you'll be part of them. Healing is a Choice, and you know we've talked about abortion here today, and we've seen so many women come, and men who maybe have not even talked. In fact, what you know, they just say, "I haven't talked about this in 30 years," and we can get that off of you. We can help you experience freedom from that, if you'll let us. So you call us, Healing is a Choice, and then the Marriage Weekend, and we're going to do them both the same weekend, February the 22nd, 23rd, 24th in Southern California. Mylon and Kay will be there, Dave and Jan, and I'll be there. It's just going to be great. We're going to do the two workshops back to back. So if there's any area that you're dealing with, we've got something for you that weekend in Southern California. We appreciate you. We love you. This is our 25th anniversary. We've lowered Club New Life down to $25 a month out of celebration and trying to increase our support through Club New Life. Maybe you could be one of the five people we need every day to come and join us. If so, if God's leading you, $25, less than $1 a day to keep us on the air and doing what we're doing. We sure care about you. We were praying for you today in our devotional time. Thank you, Mylon, and thank you, Sherry. God bless you, too, and thanks to all of you who watch and listen. We love you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.